Hello, and welcome to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM and WKRM Radio. Your hometown news broadcasting from the Debbie Matthews Nashville Realty Newsroom in Columbia, Tennessee. I'm your host, Tom Price. Today is Thursday, April 4th, and we start with local news. A temporary solution to Murray County's desire for an impact fee moved a step closer to final passage in the General Assembly. House Bill 2426, previously touted by Representative Scott Sapicki as a compromise with builders and realtors, was approved by a House subcommittee without opposition, then was heard by the Finance, Ways and Means Committee at its April 2nd meeting, where it was passed with amendments and will now be considered by the House Calendar and Rules Committee today. The bill would allow counties that meet specific criteria, which includes Murray County, to temporarily increase their adequate facilities tax on new residential and commercial construction, up to $1.50 per square foot. Such changes would require a two-thirds vote of the county's legislative body in two consecutive meetings. After 4 years, a county could increase the adequate facilities tax by up to 10%, again, by a two-thirds vote. Murray County's current rates are 50 cents per square foot for residential construction and 30 cents for non-residential. County officials have said Murray is losing out on millions of dollars in revenue and suffering as a result. Eligible counties would be those which saw a 20% increase in population between the 2010 U.S. Census and the 2020 U.S. Census, or those which saw a 9% increase over the last 4 years as determined by a special census. A county could use annual census estimates to maintain eligibility if it fits one of the initial criteria. Murray County saw a 24.7% increase in its population from 2010 to 2020, according to the U.S. Census numbers. The most recent census estimated that the county's population on July 1st of 2023 was 110,760, or 9.69% increase in that three-year span. House Bill 2426 makes changes to the County Powers Relief Act to further assist counties financially. Bill sponsor, Representative Tim Hicks, a Republican from Gray, told the Finance, Ways and Means Subcommittee during its March 27th meeting, "All we're doing is setting this up for the counties to be able to do this their way," he said. During questioning, the subcommittee was advised by legal counsel that a county's changes to its adequate facilities tax would have to be at two regularly scheduled meetings and that a called meeting could not be utilized. Initially, the bill was written to apply to Murray, Montgomery, Rutherford, Williamson, and Wilson counties. Representative Sam Whitson, a Republican from Franklin, asked if Williamson could be removed via amendment and was told by Representative Hicks that, as amended, both Williamson and Wilson counties would be removed. Those counties currently are Rutherford, Sumner, Trousdale, Murray, and Montgomery counties, Hicks said in referring to which counties would be eligible under the bill if ultimately approved. Also on March 27th, The Senate State and Local Government Committee approved its version of the bill by a 7-2 vote, moving it forward to that chamber's Finance, Ways and Means Committee. Adam Lowe, a Republican from Calhoun, and Sarah Kyle, a Democrat from Memphis, voted against the bill. Another amendment would limit the ability of a commercial building to be taxed to 150,000 square feet, regardless of its ultimate size. That concession was made in order to get the builders on board, noted Senator Shane Reeves, a Republican from Murfreesboro, who is sponsoring the bill in the Senate. When the Senate Finance, Ways and Means Committee will take up the bill is not immediately known. Local officials, including County Mayor Sheila Butt, have said House Bill 2426 would help, but is only a temporary fix to a long-term problem. The legislation simply gives local government elected officials one option to help pay for growth. I am convinced that if we can't get more buy-in to our community from developers, that the quality of life for all of Murray Countyans will suffer, Butt said in a previous statement. Mule Day, the biggest annual celebration in Murray County, is celebrating a special milestone in 2024 as the event marks its 50th anniversary of its rebirth. Mule Day is an annual celebration of all things related to mules and is held in Columbia, the mule capital of the world. Begun in 1840 as Breeders' Day, a single-day livestock show and mule market event held on the first Monday in April, the event was discontinued after World War II. The Murray County Bridle and Saddle Club helped resurrect the event in 1974, and now Mule Day has attracted as many as 200,000 people to downtown Columbia and takes place over 4 days. In addition to mules, food, music, dancing, and crafts are featured. Today, it's Mule Day, and that goes back to 1934, said Louise Mills, the public relations director for Mule Day. In the old days, when it was Mule Market, it was a one-day event, and they'd have a mule sale and sell stock. Everyone came to town, and they looked forward to it all year long, she said. It gets stronger and stronger every year. And this year, we're 50 years old, she said. The heavy involvement of Murray County in the mule industry has caused the event to grow over time into one of the largest livestock markets in the world, according to organizers. Mule Day's return in 1974 came via the efforts of the Murray County Bridle and Saddle Club, which was searching for a service project. A committee was formed and opted to recreate the traditional Mule Day. Harvey Spann, the current president of the Murray County Bridle and Saddle Club, was part of that committee and is one of two surviving members. I was a Navy recruiter in Columbia at the time, said Harv Mason, who was a disc jockey at WMCP, and I were good friends and both belonged to the Murray County Bridle and Saddle Club. Someone brought pictures of the past mule days from the 1930s, through the Second World War, and we got to looking at them, and one of us said, we ought to try and bring it back, Spann said. They appointed a committee of 7 people, and I'm one of 2 still alive. Larry Watson, who now lives in Hohenwald, was one of the others, he said. The 1974 event had a budget of $500 and consisted of a Queens contest, a mule show on Friday, and the Saturday parade, mule pulling and square dance. Spann said there were no fences in Murray County Park at that time, which limited what organizers could pull off. It wasn't nothing compared to what it is now, Spann said of that 1974 Mule Day. Over the years, it has grown exponentially. We own the rights to Mule Day, but the mindset of the people here is that Mule Day belongs to everyone in Murray County and Tennessee. We're just the custodians of it, he said. Today, Mule Day includes a log pulling competition, a Miss Mule Day pageant for kids, live music concerts, a state auctioneer contest, a craft fair, and much more. The full schedule can be found online at www.muleday.com. The mule shows at the park will run through from Thursday through Sunday, and they add to it every year, Mills said. This year we have some different events and ones we're continuing to do. There's a lot of interest in something like a dog show or the Little Miss Mule Day pageant. Those little girls just flock to the pageant, she said. The Mule Day parade draws enormous crowds to downtown Columbia and has had big-name grand marshals in recent years. This year, country music star Clay Walker will serve as the grand marshal for the April 6th parade. I think he probably has a lot of fans who would love to see him in the parade, and we're tickled to have him, Mills said. The parade's honorary grand marshal will be the late David Skillington, who passed away in December of 2023. He served as the Mule Day treasurer for a number of years and was a respected member of the Murray County Bridle and Saddle Club, achieving recognition in the Mule Day Hall of Fame. Skillington also is noted for dedicating his time to the Murray County Senior Citizen Board and the Murray County Park Board. Members of Skillington's family will ride in the parade in his memory. The Murray County Bridle and Saddle Club has about 100 members and is one of the most active clubs in the state. The Mule Day Committee is made up of around 40 volunteer members, which consist of directors and assistant directors for each function of Mule Day. We've got members who have been involved for 40, 50 years, Spann said. It gets to be a labor of love. Recruiting is an ongoing issue. Getting younger members, he said. The club also thanks the many sponsors who help contribute to the success of Mule Day, including the City of Columbia, Murray County Government, Murray County Visitors Bureau, Murray Alliance, the Kiwanis Club, the Lighthouse Church, Murray Regional Medical Center, and Murray County Parks and Recreation. Charitable contributions have been a staple for the Bridle and Saddle Club and Mule Day organizers since the event came back. Spann said in 1974 the proceeds were used to provide 7 food baskets to needy families. Since then, we've continually given some of our proceeds to charity, Spann said. We've spent a lot of money here in Murray County Park putting in facilities that make it easier to have Mule Day. As long as we can, that's what we'll do. It's home to us. Putting on Mule Day is a year-round process, and Mills said the Mule Day committee is already working on plans for 2025. We've already started working on next year. You have to get that jump on it, and there's a lot of stuff in October, November, December, Mills said. It takes a lot of effort and a lot of work. It's more than year-round, she said. The financial impact of Mule Day for Columbia and Murray County is in the millions. Spann said a study in the 1990s estimated it at $15 million then and couldn't guess what it is today. Having people come and visit our county and spend money helps everybody economically, Spann said. For more information on Mule Day and the 2024 event, visit www.muleday.com or you can call 931-381-9557. The Murray County Regional Planning Commission rejected one concept plan for a proposed development while giving initial approval to another at its March 25th meeting. A concept plan for a 360-unit development in Spring Hill was ultimately rejected as planners cited traffic concerns, lack of emergency response, and the city's rejection of access from Kedron Road. Meredith Hijack moved to deny the application based on Spring Hill's rejection of Kedron Road access. We are dealing with a legal issue here with Spring Hill denying the use of Kedron Road. That is the natural way in and out of this development, she said. Why do we have to go and disrupt Pumpkin Creek and all these other roads? The motion to deny passed 7-1 with David Horvath voting no. Initially, motions to approve and motions to deny each failed for lack of a second among the members of the Planning Commission. Planning Commission member Mark Cook moved to approve the concept plan with the condition that the Planning Commission would not approve any further developments that tie into Greens Mill Road, but withdrew his motion after being told by Chairman Harold Delk that the board could not impose such restrictions on future requests. John Cooper of law firm Holland & Knight, representing the developer, noted that the project received concept plan approval in the spring of 2023, contingent upon a connection to Kedron Road. Cooper said the developer had negotiated such an agreement with the city of Spring Hill, but it was rejected by the city's board of mayor and aldermen. The concept plan meets all legal requirements of the subdivision regulations, Cooper told commissioners. The previous condition is now an impossibility because the city will not allow it. This new plan has sufficient connection points to Greens Mill Road and Pumpkin Creek, he said. Before the vote on the concept plan, a preliminary plat was deferred at the request of the planning staff with the developer's concurrence. Nearby residents, several of whom were in attendance, asked planners to reject the development. Maggie DeLisi said Lee Road and Pumpkin Creek Lane would need to be widened to accommodate the influx of traffic, and also noted the regular presence of bicyclists in the area, adding that bike lanes would be needed. DeLisi also noted the time first responders needed to respond, saying that Spring Hill's Fire Station Number 3 does not service that area. Now you're going to stick 360 more homes back there. Who's going to service us? She said. We have plenty of houses around here, but I'm really concerned about the safety. We just can't handle it, she said. Kenneth Unger claimed the most recent traffic study was 2 years old. We've got a lot more traffic than we did 2 years ago on Greens Mill Road, he said. I've watched from my house trucks that are making deliveries down Reagan Road, and one has to wait because they cannot pass each other. Beth Norwood echoed the traffic study concern and also said the water availability letter had expired. She also cited previous Planning Commission minutes during which planners had said they leaned against Pumpkin Creek because being used for construction traffic. Scott Sumners, who recently was appointed to the County Commission, said the inability to utilize access to Kedron Road should be the Planning Commission's decision, should make their decision a no-brainer. With the City of Spring Hill denying access to Kedron Road, that should be the biggest red flag ever and should kill this project for good, Sumner said. Developers conceded that the traffic data was collected in 2022, but said it had been updated with projections through 2030. Cook asked if a city annexed land but not the road it borders, whether the city had the authority to deny access to that road. He also asked if planned developments on Shaw Road and Greens Mill Road had been included in the traffic study and was told it was not part of the analysis. That is what we were dealing with. It's putting this planning commission in very bad positions, Cook said. The build-out of all three of those would take the stretch between Reagan Road and Kedron Road from 1,400 trips a day to approximately 7,400 trips a day. Planning staff said that in its review, projections were more like an increase of 3,400 trips per day between Pumpkin Creek and Greens Mill. Planners also took up a dual request regarding a proposed 724-acre planned urban development on Highway 431 and Flat Creek Road in Spring Hill. The owners are seeking to have the property rezoned from A2 rural residential to R planned urban development and also submitted a preliminary master development plan for approval. The development would include 407 homes and a planned golf course, according to Mark Enderle of Storied Development. We've got a long history of doing these types of communities in Tennessee and across the country. We've done The Grove in Williamson County, Enderle told the board. Enderle added that the developer would voluntarily pay a $2 per square foot impact fee on the residential development, noting Murray County's fight to enact such a fee on developers. Peter Jensen, who volunteers with the Murray County Fire Department, noted the county's height restriction on buildings and that the department did not have a ladder truck. Jensen noted that such a truck costs an estimated $2 million. From a fire department perspective, we're going to struggle, Jensen said. We don't have a way to properly serve the size of the homes. I'd like to see our county commission think through these requirements and how you're going to staff us appropriately, he said. Residents again spoke on their concerns, which were similar to the previous request. If anybody's ever down Flat Creek Road, especially with large dump trucks and 18-wheelers, there's no room for another car, said Mark Hijack. Water in our area, there are four other developments going up in there. Is the water department going to be able to handle the demand? He asked. Hijack called the request a spot zone, saying the golf course would likely not be open to the public and would only benefit the residents of the proposed development. Ray Jeter, who represents District 8 on the County Commission, said he had met with residents and the developer to hear concerns. He praised the developer's willingness to self-impose an impact fee. This is one, as a county commissioner, that I really have to look at. Murray County does not currently have anything like this in our county. As I try to figure out how we're going to fund the needs of this county, the impact fee is a big deal, he said. Jeter noted that Williamson County has similar developments and uses those to fund much of its school capital needs. One nearby resident countered, "Everybody who's going to live in that subdivision is never going to spend a penny in Murray County. They're going to go to Williamson County, to Cool Springs. It's morally wrong what you're going to do to us if you approve this." Perry Dillahay decried that what he called carpetbaggers who come into the community, saying, "I find it hard to believe they're going to be part of our community. The closest school is going to be Spring Hill. You're not going to send those kids to that school. Is Williamson County going to cover it?" "Absolutely not," he said. Horvath asked if the development's roads would have sidewalks, given that they would be private roads. And Doral replied that they would for the most part. Regarding water concerns, another of the applicant's representatives stated that Murray County Water had a commitment for 2 million gallons per day and could serve 140 lots immediately. Planning staff noted that if rezoning and preliminary development plan were approved by the county commission, the planning commission would still be able to weigh in on preliminary and final plats in the future. Hijack again moved to reject the planned urban development, saying, "If we read from the A2 Rural Residential District guidelines, it speaks about farming, agricultural activities, having the necessary services available. This does not fit in this area. We don't have the services." Her motion died for lack of a second. The request was ultimately approved by a 7-1 vote with Hijack in opposition. The rezoning and planned urban development will now go before the county commission for its approval. For your southern Middle Tennessee weather, we will have a mix of clouds and sun that will give way to cloudy skies this afternoon. The high will reach 56 degrees with winds out of the west-northwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, we can expect clouds that will give way to mainly clear skies overnight. Scattered frost is possible. The low will be 33 degrees with winds out of the north-northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll cover state and national news that affect you. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
As years go by, people may tend to forget just what a funeral is really all about. At Oaks and Nichols, we believe it's first and always a special remembrance of someone you love. We start by listening to your needs and desires. If you're unsure, we can help gently, professionally. At Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, we haven't lost sight of why we're here, to serve Maury County families in the ways they prefer, and why your satisfaction is so important to Jeff Hargrove and Susie Sowell.
There's a great deal of satisfaction in serving a family and serving them well. It's an eye for detail and thoughtfulness, and taking the time to see that things are done right.
We do have nice facilities and good people, and we work hard to do things well, but we don't want that to intimidate people as to what they think it will cost. Taking care of you is our primary concern.
Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, 320 West 7th Street in Columbia. Since 1856, people you can rely on.
Debbie Matthews, realtor, and her husband Jason, who is a pro songwriter, also own a music publishing company. They live in historic downtown Columbia with their dogs. Dog rescue work is their passion project. They consider Middle Tennessee their backyard, and their lives are full of all things Tennessee. Debbie says there is no greater honor than to help someone find a home. To be trusted with that job, there is no greater privilege. Call Debbie at the Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224, 615-476-3224.
Family first. My dad used to tell us that all the time. But family first wasn't just something he'd say to us. It was how he lived every day of his life. And it's how I try to live mine too.
At Shelter Insurance, our agents are dedicated to helping provide personalized auto, home, and life protection that puts your family first.
For auto, home, life, or business insurance, see Shelter agent Tommy Hyde Jr. at 388-2009.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Are you a homeowner looking to unlock the potential of your home equity? Explore a home equity loan with First Farmers. Hi, this is Felicia Brown with First Farmers, and we would like to invite you to access funds with a home equity loan. For home improvements, invest in education, or simplify your finances, you can make your dreams a reality with the power of your home equity. Get started today. Apply online at myfirstfarmers.com or call to speak with one of our team specialists at 1-800-882-8378, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years, and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
This is Maury County Mayor Sheila Butt, and I want to welcome you to one of the most fun and exciting weeks in Columbia in Maury County, known as the Mule Capital of the World. This year's Mule Day events have evolved from Breeders' Day, which was a one-day livestock show and mule marketing event in the 1840s. It has now become an almost week-long celebration that begins with a wagon train and includes craft shows, old-fashioned log pulling, bluegrass music, a nationally recognized state auctioneer contest, a liar's contest, and a Mule Day parade on Saturday at 11. All of this and more is presided over by a lovely Mule Day queen and her court. In Maury County, we value our community traditions and faith, family, and freedom. We also have a strong team of people here pulling together. We're Team Maury, and we're glad you're here. Make yourself at home and enjoy the festivities with all of us.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on Kennedy Broadcasting, WKOM 101.7 and WKRM 103.7. I'm Tom Price. And now news from around the state. More Tennesseans started the second month of 2024 on the job as employment improved across the state in February, with every county recording lower unemployment rates for the month. According to newly released data from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, all 95 counties showed an improved unemployment situation when compared to the revised January numbers. The decrease in unemployment across the state led each county to post rates under 5% in February. Williamson County had the state's second lowest rate of the month at 2.1%, a 0.4% decrease, followed by Rutherford County, which dipped from 2.7% to 2.2% in February. Davidson County registered a 2.3% jobless rate in February, down from the 2.8% rate in the same month of 2023. Moore County had the lowest unemployment rate in Tennessee with a rate of 1.9%. That represented a 0.8% drop from its January number. Murray County tied Hickman County and Wilson counties for number 8 spot on the list at 2.3%. The Tennessee Department of Transportation's Nobody Trashes Tennessee Litter Prevention Campaign is once again expanding its youth group partnerships. All 6 Boy Scouts of America councils serving Tennessee have joined with Nobody Trashes Tennessee to offer scouts the opportunity to earn a Nobody Trashes Tennessee patch. Boy Scouts of all ages have multiple ways to earn the patch by completing Nobody Trashes Tennessee educational worksheets and participating in litter cleanups in their community, coordinating their own cleanup in their neighborhood or school grounds, or through existing beautification and service projects. For Boy Scouts ages 12 and older, the Adopt a Highway program is an opportunity to earn both a patch and a roadway recognition panel for committing to quarterly pickups. Patches are provided by Nobody Trashes Tennessee at no cost to the councils or individual scouts. Community service is woven into the fabric of our program, said Casey Norwood, Scout Executive CEO, Boy Scouts of America, Chickasaw Council. I believe the goals of the Nobody Trashes Tennessee campaign align well with our scouts, giving back to the communities in which we all love and live. Let's take one last break. When we come back, we'll cover the final story of the day. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Turner and Osborne Tire Company, 1016 South Main Street in Columbia. Give them a call at 931-388-6822. They've been doing business since 1947 and in their current location since 1964. They provide the best tire and mechanical work at some of the best prices in Middle Tennessee. Hey, they're official Michelin and Goodyear dealers, and they've got all kinds of brands as well. Stop by and see Walker Vining and his professional staff, or check them out online at turnerandosborne.com. That's turnerandosborne.com.
Looking for a physician? Choosing a healthcare provider for your family is one of the most important decisions you will make. Murray Regional Medical Group delivers primary care for individuals of all ages, from newborns to adults, and has an array of specialists ranging from endocrinologists to urologists. With locations in Murray, Lewis, Marshall, and Wayne counties, our experienced team can provide you with quality care close to home. For more information, visit MurrayRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Murray Regional Medical Group. Your health is our primary care.
Have you ever wondered if your insurance needs can be personalized? This is Hunter Carey. Our team specializes in planning your insurance needs to get you the best possible solution. State Farm is the largest home and auto insurer in the country. I love bringing that to my hometown. Born and raised in Columbia, I'm grateful for our close community ties. We offer help with home, auto, and life insurance for everyone in our community. Our office is located at 909 South Garden Street, across from the fire station. We're also online at huntercarey.com. That's Hunter, C-A-R-Y.com.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today, and now our final story. Need plans after the Mule Day Parade on Saturday? The Factory at Columbia has you covered. Their event will feature an afternoon of music with the Mule Town Songwriters. Bring the family for some great music, good food, and fun shopping. That'll be on Saturday, April 6th from 12 to 3 at 101 North James M. Campbell Boulevard in Columbia. The event is free to attend. Songwriters include Jacob Pusser, Savannah Nicole, Clyde Van Tassel, Golden Soul Review, Patty McCabe, Nessa Lee, Evan Allen, and James Gregory. That's all for this edition of Southern Middle Tennessee Today on Kennedy Broadcasting, WKOM, WKRM Radio. I'll be back tomorrow to update with the latest news. I'm Tom Price. Thanks for listening. Be safe and have a great day.